What's cracking? Welcome to the program. We start our third hour broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. I am Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Keep calling now. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Crazy, crazy NFL weekend. We've been talking about that for the past 2 hours. We've been talking about the college weekend, too. Ohio State fan, not happy at all about what happened when they went into Iowa. I'm going to pick that conversation up in a minute, but we are joined right now by the NFC Defensive Player of the Week last week, a cornerback for the Philadelphia Eagles. On the season, he's got 43 tackles, 3 interceptions, and a touchdown. Going back to 2016, he was the 233rd pick out of LSU. Philadelphia's 8-1. They've got the best record in the NFL. They're at Dallas on November 19th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We are joined by Philadelphia corner Jalen Mills. Jalen, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Great to have you back. Thanks so much. You're coming off that 28-point win over Denver where you dominated their offense. You're 8-1. You've won 7 straight. You've got the best record in the league. How is life for Jalen Mills and the Philadelphia Eagles right now? Break it down for me.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that we have the bye now, you know, kind of get to enjoy the win more than 24 hours. So it's really good now. But, for sure, you know what I mean? It's great, you know what I mean? We've just been sticking to the process and sticking to our game plan, trusting our coaches and trusting the players around us.
Now, you're putting together a great, great season. I want to get into that in 1 second, but from the outside, it seems like that defense is playing with so much confidence right now. How would you describe the attitude and the approach of the defense?
I mean, just staying aggressive, you know what I mean? Guys out there, you know, just playing our style of football, you know, not being timid. You know, putting it all on the line, you know, regardless of whatever the situation may be, whatever the play call may be, you know what I mean? And really, you know, what it comes down to is guys not being selfish, you know what I mean? Whether it's a D lineman knowing on a certain call he's going to have to take on a double team to free up a linebacker on a run, or whether it's Malcolm going down having to play the nickel, knowing if, you know, sometimes he wants to go back and play safety. You know, this guy's not being really selfish and just putting it on the line for the defense.
Jalen Mills joining us. You know, in terms of that, the fact that you guys are not selfish, the fact that you guys are selfless, as evidence of that, when you were named the Defensive Player of the Week after that huge game against San Francisco, you dedicated the award to your defensive teammates. So first off, what did it mean for you to receive that honor, and then how good did it feel to share it with your teammates?
I mean, it was crazy. I walked into the defensive back meeting room, and Malcolm and a couple other guys were telling me congratulations. And I thought they were just talking about, you know, me being named captain for the coin toss for this Denver game. But, no, they were saying that I got named, you know, Defensive Player of the Week. And, you know, I was just – all I can say is I was blessed to be a part of that and receive that award. And, I mean, like I said, I give it, you know, a lot of it to my D-line. You know, I mean, also those veteran guys in the secondary, you know, helped me with film studying. And then those guys, you know, on the D-line getting pressure to the quarterback and making that guy having to get that ball out of his hand, you know, very quick.
Jalen, that's pretty funny. Like, damn, these dudes are making a pretty big deal out of me being a captain for the coin toss, right?
Yeah, it was crazy.
So the win over San Francisco included you returning an interception, 37 yards for a TD. You'd been studying film all week long, obviously. You broke down that route in particular. Can you take me through the play? What did you see on that play?
Just got a motion from the tight end, you know, ended up staying on the single receiver side on Pierre Garçon. Knowing that Pierre Garçon was the best route runner and also, you know, best receiver on the team, and they always like to work him on those on the backside of 3-by-1. And, I mean, kind of got a slight steal and foul from him. And knowing as soon as I got that, you know, just watching film, that it was only two ways he was going to break, and it was either going to be on a dig or it was going to be on an out route. And just trusting my break, trusting my feet, and as soon as he broke out, you know, I just jumped her out.
All right, now you took it all the way to the house, obviously, and supposedly that was your first TD since high school, and some of your teammates and coaches have been on you for your return skills. So what were you thinking on that return, and then how'd that feel to get back into the end zone finally?
Actually, I was running down the sideline. I seen all those offensive linemen. I was actually about to go out of bounds, and then something at the last minute just clicked in my head, and I was like, these guys have been grilling me all week about my return skills. I got to get in the end zone. I won't hear the last of it. So just ended up cutting back, you know, set up a couple good blocks, and ended up diving in the end zone at the last minute. Felt pretty good.
Jalen Mills joining us. You know, when you have an offense and the offense is doing what it's doing as a defense, when you see Carson Wentz, for instance, making some of the plays he's making, extending drives, frustrating opposing defenses, how much does that fire up you as a defense?
Man, for one, offenses, they're just, I mean, regardless of whatever we're doing, whether it's pass the ball, run the ball, it doesn't matter. And then when you got a guy like Carson who's escaping the pocket, it looks like the pocket is collapsing, and see him squeeze out and on a third and long run for 15 yards to get a first down, or converting with his arm. I mean, he's just playing out of control right now. And I mean, we love it. I mean, we're excited about it. And us as defensive players, you know, we're supposed to sometimes, you know, as soon as we get the game plan and we get the correct fixes with our defensive coordinator and our position coaches, you know, you see a lot of defensive players start to stand up and start watching that offense just to see what Carson is going to do.
Jalen Mills joining us for a few more moments. That's amazing praise. You know, you look at how far you've come in such a relatively short period of time. You go back to your high school playing days, in fact. Aaron Fletcher, who coached high school ball at Lancaster back in Texas, said that he first approached you about being a DB by saying that you'd be doing everything that the offense had to do, only doing it backwards. He also said the one thing he knew about you, quote, if you tell him he can't do something, he will do everything he can to prove you wrong, end quote. So when you get a challenge like that, or when somebody says you can't do something, how do you generally go about responding to it?
You got to kind of put it as a challenge, you know. But at the same time, you accept it, but you can't try to overwhelm yourself with the challenge. You know what I mean? You just have to take it day by day, and work on the little bitty things. So when that challenge arrives, you know, you're ready for it. You know, you get a lot of times people get challenges and they just try to get it over with and get it done really, really fast as soon as they get the challenge, but you don't have a game plan for it, or sometimes you're not equally prepared, or, you know, just those type of things. So just try to take a little bit at a time, you know, regardless of whatever the challenge is, you know, try to get a game plan, map out the best ways possible for me to when that challenge comes, you know, I can overcome it and I can accept it and be my best at it.
Jalen Mills, my guest. All right, so what about playing Philadelphia? I mean, you'll tell me, we've got our process. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves. There's a lot of football still to be played. But Philadelphia Eagle fans are, man, they're feeling it. They're hyped. They're excited. They haven't seen anything like this in a long time. What's it like to play in that town? And then do you feel that intensity or that passion from Eagle fans and how badly they want it too?
I mean, it's crazy. You know what I mean? The energy in the stadium's crazy. The energy from the players is crazy, from the coaches, from the fans, everything. It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? I can't really even explain it, the feeling. But for sure, it's something that that I didn't feel for sure last year, and now it's a different type of feeling. I mean, the city, you can just feel it. You know, you come in from work on Tuesday, even Monday, if you want to come in early. I mean, you can just feel the different vibe from the city, and it's just nothing but very, very positive energy.
They're alive, man. They want it. They're feeling it. Last thought, when you and I spoke earlier this season, we talked about the fact that you were overlooked coming out of college, but you always had this confidence about what you could do in the NFL if you got the opportunity. Then you're named the Defensive Player of the Week. You're starting to get some run as a possible Pro Bowler. Do you feel then like you have established yourself and you've proven everybody wrong?
Man, I'm just still working. You know what I mean? As far as Pro Bowl and those things go, you know, we'll see, you know, where that is, you know, towards the end of the season. But right now, you know, that's not the focus right now. The focus right now is at the end of the year. You know what I mean? We want to be standing on that stage holding up that trophy. You know what I mean? Having that confetti fly down on us. But at the same time, like you said, it's always with us. It's trusting the process and one game at a time, when we get a time. So, I mean, that's my whole thought process. Just one week at a time, and just keep grinding it out and playing at a high level each and every week for my team.
Well, right now you're 8-1. You've got the best record in the NFL. You're on a bye week. You're a Defensive Player of the Week, and so far so good. Jalen Mills, my guest. And you made your second appearance in the jungle this year. Jalen, great job. Nice to have you back. Thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Nice job. Jalen Mills. He's having a really, really good year. And again, this is a player that was taken 233rd overall out of LSU in 2016 and playing a critical role in that defense. Eagle fan, he just said it. It's crazy. It's not like it was last year. There's a different vibe. There's different energy. You feel it when you come to the facility. It's everywhere. Everybody's hyped. So, shout out to you Philadelphia Eagle fans. What's it like? What's it feel like? How excited are you? What's the vibe? Anybody in Philadelphia listening, what's the vibe there? Buckeye fan, I'm coming back to you, too. Let's pick that conversation up. To go into Iowa and get taken to the woodshed by an average Iowa team, a team that at home was a 20.5-point dog and had them beat you down by 31. Buckeye fan, how'd that feel? And have you lost faith in your head coach, Herb? Or as Susan in Atlanta said, it's time for Irby to go. Never thought that I'd hear that. Buckeye fans, this guy won a national championship. He's owned Michigan. He's 68-8, and they're calling for his firing. Some of you Buckeye fans have lost faith already in, quote, Irby.
Irby needs to go. It's time.
It's time. Time to die, Irby.
Time to die!
And that's what she's saying.
Irby needs to go. It's time.
I mean, Susan, again, no exchange of pleasantries, nothing. Right into the take, right into the call. Irby needs to go. And Mike in Toledo tweets, Ohio State and Michigan's fan bases should just merge already. They both want the coach's head every time they lose a game. Yeah, I don't know, Mike. I don't know. Michigan fans still seem to like Harbaugh. At the same time, Ohio State didn't just lose a game. They've had some really bad losses with, quote, Irby. And this is probably his worst loss ever. To come off the win they had against Penn State and have a look at the college football playoff again, and then to go into Iowa as a 20.5-point favorite and get hammered by 31, that's not just, quote, a loss. That's not just they want his head after a loss. That's a bad, bad loss. That's the worst loss he's ever had, probably. This email reads, hey, Suckeyes. I already think this is going to be a bad email, just by virtue of the start. Quote, relax, guys. Herb has it all under control. Shortly after the seconds tick off the clock in whatever crap bowl game you end up in, Irv will dial up the old fake heart attack play and all will be forgiven. Regards, Florida. You know, I take it back. That was a better email than I thought coming off of, hey, Suckeyes. He just accused the guy of having a fake heart attack. You know, how do we make a bad loss go away? A bad bowl game loss go away? Ask Florida fan. Fake a heart attack to spend time with his family. And get us to stop looking at that bad loss. Here they come now. Hey, Rome. If Herb is going to go, bring his ass to Nebraska. Psst, please. Once again, count please. Your freaking blessings, Ohio State fan. At least you're on the positive side of the win-loss record. Life can always be worse. Signed, Aaron in Omaha. War Nebraska as a women's volleyball school from this day forward. They are good. They are good. They're top 10 in volleyball. Women's volleyball, 20-4 overall, 13-1 in Big Ten play. Yeah, if I had a daughter and she played volleyball, I'd send her there for sure. All right, we're coming back. We're open now the rest of the way. What do you want to hit on? 1-800-636-8686. It is toll-free. The phone lines are open. Take advantage of it.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Pay more for annual protection motor oil when you can get Castrol Edge extended performance for less. It goes 15,000 miles between oil changes. Titanium strong Castrol Edge, more than just an oil, it is liquid engineering. Veterans Day is this week. Green Beret Nate Boyer is going to join me on our podcast, which is going to drop tomorrow. Nate and I are going to speak in a couple of hours, so we'll have lots of time with him. You may know of Nate And then again, you might not know of Nate, or you may know the name, but you might not know his background and his backstory. And that's why we have the podcast, so we can take our time to set that thing up and tell the story properly and get his thoughts. Again, if you know the story about Nate Boyer, Nate Boyer was a Green Beret, and when he saw Colin Kaepernick sitting for the national anthem, he wrote him an open letter and said he had a problem with it and was curious where he was coming from with that. Kaepernick reaches out to Boyer. They come together, they meet, and the compromise was struck where Colin Kaepernick takes a knee. Except, obviously, a lot of fans don't see that as any compromise whatsoever. They don't see any compromise that either you stand or you don't. And they don't make a distinction. Nate Boyer would tell you there's a major distinction between sitting and kneeling. So we'll get into that. And also, I want to tell his football story. His football story is incredible. He walked on at Texas and had a really nice career there and then had a shot in the NFL. So look for that. That's on our podcast, the Jim Rome podcast, which is going to drop tomorrow. And then he and I are going to speak later on today. In the meantime, now here's a guy who's got a rather storied history here in the jungle. Storied history of about a year or so. And he's had a lot of good things happen and a few things that were not as good, but he keeps coming back for more. I think this guy's going to need some room. He usually picks his spots, and when he does come on, he's got a lot to talk about. Let's go to Buffalo. Rick in Buffalo. What's up, Rick? How you doing?
Thanks for letting me back in, Jim. Loved hearing Jim Kelly on the show last week. He's the perfect ambassador for our great city. Tough, humble, and resilient. And despite last week's loss to the Jets, I remain optimistic the Bills will finally end their playoff drought. Now, Jim, let me apologize for that ATP from a few weeks back. It was juvenile, ill-timed, and simply not very good. But what else would you expect coming from Dan, not in Denver? But I can't blame you, Daniel. You got to try something, because you sure as hell can't make a decent phone call. And one more thing, Jim. I was finally able to catch up on the podcast over the weekend. Never knew Dirk Nowitzki was such a good dude, and the conversation with Dana White was epic. But let's be honest. It's time to pull the plug on that answering machine. If I wanted to hear complete trash, I'd pull up Vic and No-Kale's calls on Stucknut. And no surprise, Victor is a constant contributor to the voicemail. Maybe he finally realized he no longer has the game for the big stage. But probably not. He's too friggin' dense to figure anything out. Ward Deshaun Watson making a speedy recovery. Ward Calvin Benjamin staying slim and trim. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Rick in Buffalo, rack him. I don't know. Every time I hear that guy, I think that he's just coming in to sound like Jeff in Richmond with my trophy wife and my 18-inch pipes and my finely cut Armani gear.
For all you bottom feeders out there in radio land, all you inferior specimens, all you toolboxes, all you hayseeds and huckleberries, and especially all you softball Canadian clones who couldn't for one day walk in my shoes, I say this to all of you collectively. Step your game up.
Rick in Buffalo reminds me of that guy every single time. Jeff, where are you? Jeff in Richmond, where are you? You don't need to wait for the smack-off. And as a former winner, you can show up on the day of the smack-off. What happened to that guy? Where is Jeff? We found Terrence in Sierra Madre. If we could find Terrence, we can find anybody at all. Jeff, why not make your triumphant return to the jungle? Maybe your life has changed. Maybe you no longer wear Armani gear. Maybe you no longer have 18-inch pipes. Maybe you no longer have that trophy rocket on your side. It doesn't matter, Jeff. None of it matters. We all get older. We all lose game. It happens to all the great athletes. Or maybe you're just busy. Maybe your life changed. Just make one return, Jeff. Let us know what's going on. Let us know what time it is. Let us know if you've upgraded all those things that made you Jeff in Richmond. Maybe you've got a new country estate. Maybe you're no longer sitting on 4 acres. Maybe it's 20 acres right now. Maybe you're rolling through town in a Lamborghini. Maybe you no longer have a home. I don't know. Give us a call, Jeff. Paulie Nindy tweets, one of these days, Rick in Buffalo is going to stroke out midway through reading his script. No, he's not. He's fine. He's great. The best times of his life are when he calls this show and he reads his script. He's not stroking out then. It's a party for that guy. He's got it. He got racked. Here's a guy that had a golden ticket, only to have it snatched right back with an ill-fated ATP. Like I said, this guy's been at the top and back down to the bottom, and is fighting his way back out. He just got racked. Kid's resilient. He's resilient, and he sounds like a Jeff in Richmond knockoff. Which, again, makes me wonder, what the hell happened to Jeff? I don't know. I do not know. Anybody else want in? Any reaction to Rick? There generally is when he calls. Still ahead, the ATP. I hope I come off that weekend with a really good question. It's got to be a good question. That's coming up next segment. And I'm looking for your telephone calls. Huge call also still ahead. 1-800-636-8686. I'll probably get one more reset in on the Brock Lobster. Not like that guy's going to play anytime soon. Again, I'll hit that. Stay tuned. At Kevy 1021 tweets, Rick sounds like a guy who texts in all caps.
Good night now.
Probably. He's loud. He's emphatic. He probably does. ATP is coming up momentarily, but quickly, some Rick in Buffalo reaction. See, I respect a guy like this who just comes at it straight. Straight reaction. Adam Ferguson tweets, Rick in Buffalo is the worst. It's a good tweet. In fact, if I had a gift card, I'd give it to you. Not that I agree with you, but I just like that tweet. Rick in Buffalo is the worst. Notre Dame Russ tweets, Jim, we love Rick's optimism. Sign tailgaters who light themselves on fire, tools falling off the upper deck, and drunks getting hit by parked buses. Denver Dan is in. Rick's best quality is he sounds like somebody else. And there's some of your reaction to Rick in Buffalo. It's got to be somebody who likes him, though, right? Other than Hawk. Hawk loves you, if that counts for anything at all. What else do we have? Nick's Hex 0311 tweets, Rick in Buffalo has got a better chance of making it to the smack off than Benjamin staying slim in chicken wing heaven. Headstrom Bacon's in. Starting to wonder if Rick in Buffalo is suffering from some hearing loss or if he's just angry that his foot fungus is acting up. At Fake K Winslow tweets, give Rick the golden ticket again just so he can lose the ticket a third time and set a record that will never be touched again. It's a lot of time between now and the smack-off. That could happen. And again, I don't have a strong opinion either way. I like Rick. I think Rick's good for the program. So I'm not saying, hey, man, I got a problem with this guy. Trust me. If he gets a golden ticket, I will rip it. I'm not feeling that way at all. I'm just saying Rick might go Rick. He's done it before. He could do it again. It could happen. Let's go to the ATP, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the superstar battery that is an exact fit for your car. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's see. Dan in Denver. Man, this guy's everywhere. Are you a Hall & Oates fan? It's a fair question. I'm not going to say that I am a Hall & Oates fan, but how can you say you're not? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not really my jam or my jams, but really, how can you say you're not? Private Eyes, Rich Girl, Kiss on My List, You Make My Dreams Come True. I'm not going to say that I am, but I can speak for somebody else. My man Jeff Perlman loves Hall & Oates. He is a huge H&O fan. And if Jeff Perlman says so, then it must be so. Thanks, Dan. Bella B is in. B asks, hi, Jim. Pineapples on pizza or not? Thanks, B.
I love when you talk hockey.
That's pretty good. Honestly, B, Earlier in my life, yes. Now, not so much. In fact, now, not ever. But like back in college, when I went to UC Santa Barbara, there was this great, great pizza joint in Isla Vista called Woodstock's. In fact, Woodstock's might still be there. We always went pineapple and ham. It was a kick-ass pie. But that was kind of a college thing. I don't know. You get older, your tastes change. So B, the answer is back in the day, yes. Today, pretty much never. And one bonus, Matt in Poland Springs. Rome, today is the 7-year anniversary of Gerrit Gomez and Blame knocking off Zenyatta at the Breeders' Cup Classic. What is your favorite memory in horse racing that does not include your own horses? In fact, involving that same horse, Zenyatta beating the boys in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita. I was there trackside when that happened, and that was, I mean, people were in tears. It was like the most amazing thing to see the big mare come running and run down the boys once again. Mike Smith was on her. That was amazing. So my favorite memory in horse racing, not involving any of our horses, was Zenyatta winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. And her not quite getting to Blame was so gut-wrenching. And Blame was awesome, taking nothing away from Blame. But she always got there. Zenyatta always got there. Always got there. And came up just short against Blame. So I'm going to say Zenyatta. She was awesome. She really was the queen. All right, Matt, thank you very much. Looking for a telephone call. You know, before I do that, though, since I'm not sure when we're going to see the Brock Lobster again, I think we should revisit that once more now in the third hour. Because week 9 in the NFL was a lot of things. Boring was not one of them, especially for the road teams. In fact, I'd argue that it's impossible to agree on a clear-cut moment from yesterday that was the most entertaining. We've been talking about this. Yeah, the Rams going full greatest show on turf in Jersey. A.J. Green going full GSP in Jacksonville. Kirk Cousins going full Tom Brady in Seattle. All great, but you got to admit, nothing compared to the sheer entertainment value of Brock Lobster going Brock Lobster in Philadelphia. Now, I'm not going to lie, I miss this dude. There's something about the Brock Lobster that makes it impossible to look away. And since we haven't seen this guy since week 6, when he was on the other end of the New York Giants' only win this season, I gotta admit, I really needed more. I wanted more. I mean, that Lobster got in late and only threw it 4 times. Yesterday, though, he got the start against Philly on the road. So everything lined up perfectly for a classic Brock Osweiler performance. And like the showman that he is, on the big stage, he did not disappoint.
Osweiler with a play fake, looks left, throws a pass right into the hands of a defender. This will be intercepted. Got in front of Demaryius Thomas and now down the sideline, forced out of bounds. That was Patrick Robinson, the 8-year cornerback out of Florida State.
You see? You see what happens when this guy gets more than 4 attempts? 2 more attempts, and he actually throws a pick. And it was a laser, too. Right on target to Patrick Robinson. I've actually never seen a better thrown ball. Brock led Robinson right into it, hit him perfectly in stride. It was a thing of beauty. Unfortunately for Bronco fan, that game got out of hand quickly, which meant that Brock had to air it out. Down 38-9 and looking for big yardage, the Lobster went through his reads, and he settled on throwing into triple coverage.
Pressured immediately, floats one as he gets hit, and this ball will be easily intercepted at the 39. Osweiler's second interception of the game. He got hit as he was falling backwards when he made the throw, and that was simply a punt that McLeod settled underneath.
Right? And before we kill this guy, let's give this guy credit. I mean, he knew how that series was going to go, so he punted with his arm 2 downs early. I think that's actually innovation. Former offensive lineman, though, Damian Woody, who knows a hell of a lot more about football than I do, didn't think so. Damian Woody tweeted after that pick, and I quote, "Man, how is Osweiler still playing in the NFL? Like, how?" End quote. Easy, big fella. Don't go running this guy out of the league. He's a Hall of Famer for team content. Credit to the Broncos, though, for wanting to stop turning the ball over and then Jedi mind-tricking themselves hard enough to throw the keys to the guy that invented turning the ball over. Speaking of those 2 picks, the Lobster explained them both on the podium after the game, and the explanations may have been even worse than the throws. Check this dude talking about the first one.
I'm just doing a play action fake, you know, away from where I'm throwing, and basically I'm just trying to find the linebackers once I snap my head around, and if I see him in the line of scrimmage, I let that ball rip, and that's what I did, and their defensive back made a great play on it. And we got to find a way to stop turning it over, especially backed up. You know, anytime you put your team in a position like that, it's just it's horrible. And so we got to figure out what the problem is, you know, and we will, because that's horrible.
Brock, it was horrible. It was horrible. And no disrespect to Patrick Robinson, who's a really nice vet. That was not that great of a play. You hit him perfectly in his hands. So what about the second interception? I mean, certainly you've got a better explanation for what happened on that play. You know, that bomb into triple coverage. What was the thinking behind that one, Lobster?
There's been some wild things that have happened on football fields before. So until the clock says zero, you know, you always have a chance. And I think that's what you saw in the second interception. You know, and I already talked to Coach. You know, it's something I really want to look at tomorrow, talk about the situation, the time, the score. You know, it just seemed like it was kind of that time to throw up one and see if we can get a big play downfield, maybe a pass interference call. You know, I was throwing it blind. I had to slide to my left. But bottom line, we can't turn the ball over. And when we do that, it's just going to be hard to win football games, and we got to clean it up. It's just that simple.
This cat's incredible. I have never heard or seen a worse player with more confidence than Brock Lobster. Is that incredible the way he lays that out? I mean, this guy is just definitive and owning it. Like, yeah, I mean, he comes off like he's Peyton Manning or something. And the guy literally is one of the most ineffective quarterbacks I've ever seen. I have never seen a guy with less ability who's more confident. I mean, I know that's a harsh thing to say, but listen to what he's saying. He makes that sound like that was the right decision and like he believes that was the right decision. You know, you're never out of a game. I mean, strange things have happened on a football field. Believe me, Brock, you were out of that game. It was 38-9. That game had ended long before. I love also how he was looking for the bailout. Hey, look, I got to throw that up. I got to throw that up and give my chance either A, to make a play, or B, to get a PI call.
Maybe a pass interference call.
A pass interference call? Because you're going to get the bailout. You know they reserve that for star quarterbacks, right? And star receivers. Right? The Brock Lobster is not going to get that call. You only get PI calls, A, if the DB is beaten and desperate to prevent the receiver from making a play. In this case, there was no reason for any DB to touch your guy. Your guy was not open, and they knew that you couldn't get him the ball anyway. This dude's awesome. I don't know that I've ever liked him more than I do right now. Like I said, I've never seen a guy less effective with more confidence than the Brock Lobster. Dear Rome, my favorite part of those Brock clips is the announcer has no emotion when announcing the interception like he was expecting it. Give that announcer an Emmy. Signed, John in Huntington Beach. Warn me and Francis in Glendale being invited to check out the new studio.
Easily intercepted.
Francis can do whatever the hell it is you guys do. Just leave me and my new studio out of this. It is so true. That announcer, of course, he's got no emotion. He knew it was coming. He expected it.
This ball will be easily intercepted at the 39.
Hey, Rome, people can slow their roll on the Denver collapse. Elway is working the plan to perfection with the Giants about done with Eli. He should be rolling into town just in time for a 2019 Super Bowl appearance. Signed, Kevin at a mile. Wore Cooper as Denver's 2025 QB1. Yeah, I don't know. For a long time, I was the guy who would say, Elway's got this. Elway's got this under control. Elway knows exactly what he's doing. Elway's unafraid. Elway does not look like he's got this. He may still be unafraid, but I don't really see what that plan is.
Thank you to John Elway.
1-800-636-8686. Very good news here, if true. Mike Kliss is a longtime beat reporter for the Broncos, and he tweets that the Lobster is going to start this week against the Pats. That, according to sources who tell 9 News that. Either Paxton Lynch is still beat up, or they have no confidence in him whatsoever. And either way, and I'm not wishing any harm on anybody, I don't give a damn what it is. Run it back, Brock.
I thought Brock did a fine job.
Hey, Paxton, I hope you feel better soon, just not too soon. Run it back, Brock. That's good news. If true. Hopefully I didn't get catfished on that tweet or something. He's got a verified blue check, so it's all good. All right, then. Good news. That's always good to end the show on a positive note. Something good in the world of sports. Brock Lobster gets a shot against the Pats. All right, time for a huge call. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need for your hair, your face, skin, and shower. They have you covered from head to toe. They deliver it to you just like they do their razors. Give the club a try today. They've got everything, including waiting.
Buttocks.
Wipes. I slipped that into the huge call billboard, Alvy. You didn't see that coming, did you? Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Rome. You're on it, Alvy. You're all good. Let's go to that huge call. We had a couple that got racked, so I had a tough decision to make. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Jim,
how are you?
Irby needs to go. It's time. He's going to ruin Ohio State, just like he ruined Florida, and this is his fault. There was absolutely no excuse. For whatever reason, he can't get the team ready to play the big game. They squeaked by Penn State. That was kind of a fluke, in my opinion, and I totally expected them to go into Iowa and have trouble because this is his pattern, 31-0 against Clemson. No excuse for that. And the committee, I mean, throwing them softballs. They should have never been ranked number two going into the season. That was part of the problem, too, just because your pedigree and your resume. No, Irby needs to fix it. It falls at his feet. Old Irby.
Boom. Hey. Out of here.
Kevin in the Coachella Valley tweets, what do you mean you've never heard a guy with less ability sound more confident? You ever talk to Matt in L.A.?
Which doesn't put...
Susan in Atlanta ripped the huge call saying it's time for Urban Meyer to go. She's seen enough. She doesn't trust him. And it's not the first time she's seen that from the Buckeyes. That's a Buckeye fan who's really unhappy.
Urban needs to go.
Thank you, Susan. My thanks to Mike Freeman, who was on hour number one. We had Jalen Mills. Actually, there was a lot of positive reaction to Jalen that I didn't get to. They're playing great. He's playing great. They're into their bye week. My thanks to our guests. My thanks also to the XR4TI crew. Hope you had a good weekend. Nice to be back. See you right back here tomorrow. Also, tomorrow, of course, is Podcast Tuesday. Nate Boyer is going to be my guest. I'm going to have that conversation with Nate in about an hour from right now. So I'll look forward to that dropping tomorrow. Make sure you see it. See you then. We're out.